The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that introduced the world to the newest kid star that would go on to be an international sensation. The little kid that played Pugsley Adams. You know, the one guy.
The cute and innocent movie that you thought was just about murder and fun is actually the cute and innocent movie about sadomasochistic sex.
The movie that watching it again finally explains why I dressed the way I did in my 20s. You know, like a little goth girl in pigtails.
This is The Addams Family on Blockbuster Nostalgia. Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Joining us today, we have two very special guests returning to the podcast, very anxious to get up on it. Get up on it. It's Vince and Andrea Duncan.
Yeah, we like to get up on it.
All right.
Yeah. Long distance podcast.
Long distance podcast. We're doing this one cross country in this time of, what are we, 11 months into quarantine or some ridiculous nonsense?
Yes. I mean, also they live in another state, so it's not like even if we weren't.
No, it's just because of COVID.
It's just COVID.
100% COVID, yeah.
We would have been there for
it. We would have flown them in. You know how we do.
Yeah.
Our sponsors would have flown them in.
Yeah. Yeah. Before COVID, all flights were $25 and all flights went everywhere 14 times a day.
Yep.
So you would have just been able to fly back and forth.
Yeah. Right after we're done.
Yep.
Easy.
You know, our sponsors, they got that private jet. It would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, there's not one sponsor's private jet I won't fly. But
well, that's true. I mean, you got beef with them. But so we are talking about the 1991 hit film, The Addams Family.
Yeah, that's exactly why we invited the Duncans, because they rock that gothic Addams Family life.
Yeah, I feel
like spooky Morticia. And we're kooky.
Yep,
a little kooky. And I do feel like Morticia Addams is kind of your like
Patronus.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, that's a way to describe it. Yeah,
yeah, that's accurate. I think we did win a costume contest as Gomez and Morticia.
We
Addams.
Did actually.
Yeah, see,
that's a reason that's to have you on the cast.
It was an obvious choice when we were trying to figure out who to ask to join up on this episode. I was like, well, we know who.
What are the numbers on this massive family hit?
So back in 91, this movie made $113,502,000. It was a huge hit. It came out for fucking Thanksgiving week, November 22nd or something like that, which is interesting because it's avoids being a Christmas movie, which is pretty cool. Because you could have made this a Christmas movie, like set in Christmas, and add that whole thing where you just up the ante on a movie that's just kind of okay by making it Christmas and everybody loves it. Although this movie is pretty fucking fantastic. But it's also like a PG-13 family movie, which is cool.
Yeah.
For it to make that much money, yeah. But PG-13 just for an incredible amount of sexual innuendos, S&M, and a lot of murder. Like off-camera murder, it seems like.
Yeah.
A lot of suggested things. It's actually, like, I don't think when it runs on TV, and I have not seen it on television in a long time, but when it runs on TV, I don't feel like they cut anything out.
Yeah, I don't think they do. No.
I think it was just, like, really smart where it's like, well, you're going to take kids, and kids aren't going to pick up on these innuendos.
Right.
But it's definitely, like, really entertaining for adults.
Yeah, I mean,
actually, it's always, you know, interesting going back and watching a movie you haven't seen since you were, you know, young. I got to say, it aged real nice.
Yeah, I do think part two is better. This is one of those ones where I think part two is a little bit better. But man, this movie is really good. It's also the most Tim Burton movie that Tim Burton did not direct.
Correct. Although evidently he was the producer's first choice, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, but he's doing Batman Returns at that point.
Right.
Which is also an awesome thing to...
Which is also...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which also, I think, the sequel is better.
I mean, for sure, yeah, if this movie's done before the first Batman movie, it's Tim Burton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But they were waiting to ride that wave. So in the 90s, we had that wave of like 1950s and 60s TV shows getting made into movies.
That's right. So you had this. You had what? Brady Bunch had two movies. This one had two movies. You had Beverly Hillbillies. You had George of the Jungle.
Yeah, gross.
Hey, you take that back. Brent Fringer's a national treasure.
That's not a movie. That was a cartoon.
Well, yeah, but it was also a movie.
Yeah, or like Rocky and Bullwinkle, right?
Rocky and Bullwinkle, that terrible one.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
I mean, those are cartoons. Yeah. The awesome Flintstones movie.
Ah, the very good Flintstones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the other Flintstones movie that no one remembers, Vivo Rock Vegas.
Oh, because nobody came back for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting about this movie, too, and interesting about you saying you like the second one better, is the second one, not on the list, only made like half this much money.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Adding the baby with a mustache. So I watched this movie on DVD. Like I own a DVD of it that has both of them.
Yeah.
And the only special features is the trailers. But the trailers for the second one were very heavy with a baby with a mustache in it. And I think that probably betrayed it because the baby's mm-hmm. hardly in that fucking movie. And the baby jokes are not that funny except for people reacting to, you know, to like the baby being evil and stuff off camera. But so I think that probably betrayed it. Probably people were like, well, that's stupid. There's a baby. There wasn't a baby in the original TV show. There wasn't a baby in the original comic strip. And, you know, it betrays it a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that, man.
So you think it was bad marketing because, like you said, the second movie is good. And I mean, I remember everybody liking this movie. I remember a lot of anti-Addams Family blowback.
like Christian people? Like what?
No, just in like everybody.
Right. Yeah. I don't think anyone like disliked it enough to start an uproar about it.
Well, I'm just saying like usually when you have a sequel that comes out that only makes half what the original does, it's either... The first movie may have made money, but been like disliked, critically disliked, or
the second one's like really shitty.
It's like no one came back for the second one. So you like with the Flintstones, when you see, oh, no John Goodman, no Rick Moranis. I'm not, obviously, like that's not going to be good.
So yeah, I think there were two more Addams Family movies after the second one. I think there's four, maybe three. There was Addams Family Reunion. I remember that. Which
wasn't that the TV movie?
Yeah.
And I think there might have been another straight to video movie after that, and it just kept changing cast and probably terrible.
And then there's what was it, last year or the year before, they did the animated reboot?
Yeah.
Did you guys see it?
Yeah, we saw it. I actually liked it. I thought it was pretty good. It definitely, like, the art style's more towards like the old like comic strip. Definitely had Snoop Dogg's in it.
Snoop Dogg's in it, so
yo.
Speaking of popular 90s rappers, MC Hammer.
Oh, the song? Are you talking about the song?
I'm talking about the song.
The song.
I mean, I think it's a pretty good song, but I don't think it's as good as the part two song.
Remind us?
Yeah, the whoop, there it is, Deanna.
Oh, God, you're right.
Just whoop, there it is. Only they added the Addams Family. Also, none of them will ever hold a candle to, Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go to fucking Vanilla Ice.
Ninja Turtles, yeah.
Ninja Turtles song. None of them.
They recently put out like a record for that, some like record company, like a vinyl record for that with that soundtrack for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm like, I need this.
Is it green?
I think it is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
The nostalgia. I mean, the plane on our nostalgia. Now that, like, those of us, you know,
we're grown-ups and have money.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, I mean, that's what all this movie is, right? Or that's why this movie existed to begin with. And that's why it's funny, too, because I feel a bit hypocritical liking this movie because of how much I rail against, like, watching the Super Bowl this last weekend and every TV show that they're advertising is just an old movie or old TV show that they've rebooted. And it fills me with just fury and... irrational.
Again, we're grown men right now. We were kids when this movie came out, so to us it's the best shit ever because our life was amazing. because we're fucking not paying rent and shit.
Yeah, but to Eric's point, like, it does hold up really well. Like, yeah, I've rewatched movies that I liked as a kid, and I was like, not so great.
Yeah. I guess let's start talking about the plot of the movie, sure. I suppose. Well, it starts off with Christmas carolers, and that's the only time that we see Christmas shit in there. They never freaked out at Santa Claus, which I was, you know, which you would think that they would have done that at some point.
No, but then, I mean, Santa Claus is, he's one of them, you know, like he's creepy. He comes into people's houses without permission.
It's true.
So I think they're on the same page.
Which yeah, Santa's why. A freak is what you're saying.
He's like a distant cousin, maybe.
I look, he's in a polyamorous relationship with like 1,000 fucking elves.
Yep.
That's true.
I mean, he's for sure into kink with all those bells and straps and stuff on the sleigh. Yeah. So that's why they didn't scare Santa, because he's
There's no way the elves aren't pulling a train on his wife in front of him. There's no way that's not happening. Oh, for sure. Like every night. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Christmas Eve, they're like, oh shit, we're supposed to make presents and stuff. We've just been railing.
Well, and that's why we don't get those, like, you know, back in the day, they used to get those wood carved toys, like the train sets. Now Santa just has to like rob a fucking Amazon warehouse and bring you a place to drive. The elves are too busy running trains.
Yeah.
Instead of making trains.
That's probably how it happened. They're like, we're bored. We don't make the Jack in the Boxes anymore. Can we just rail your wife? And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm into that.
I've been doing this for a millennia. Let's change it up.
Yeah. Like, once you've been doing anything for a millennia, you're just looking for anything else. Let's put some spice into this motherfucker.
But it starts off with carolers, and then the animal family pours like boiling hot oil on them, which is very funny, and also murder. So maybe that's for the PG-13.
That's probably why the PG-13.
Yeah, for off-camera violence.
I mean, they also bury a couple people alive, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, a lot of murder. It's a great way to start. Also, the cast is amazing. First, we've talked about this already, I think, at some point, that Christopher Lloyd spent the 90s just being the craziest fucking guy he could be in every movie.
Yes.
It was great.
Yeah. He never just turned into, like, he could have just played the grandpa or like this old scientist in every fucking movie that he made after Back to the Future.
Sure.
Yeah.
And instead he was like, Fester, yeah, I'll do that. Like a crazy scumbag, like scamming little kids. Sure, I'll do that. Like whatever you threw at him, he was just doing a cool, crazy guy thing. For him to play Fester in this movie, it's crazy. When people first heard about the casting, they must have been like, what the fuck are you talking about, Doc?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and he's also, you know, he's not a fat guy, and Fester's a fat guy.
He's not. He was never bald. Fester's bald.
Yeah.
I don't think he can light light bulbs with his mouth.
Fester no. can do that. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't do that.
But through the power of acting. Did you guys watch the original TV show from the 60s?
I've seen it. I don't, like, not recently, though, and not, like, in succession.
I have not seen it recently, but when I was a kid, I definitely saw it. Because it was definitely on, like, Nick at Night or something like that.
With, like, the Munsters. And...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably during the summer, too. You know, summer vacation, you're just, like, putting on the TV at random times. Like, be, like, 11 a.m., and there'll just be shows from 30 years ago. And you're like, I guess I'm watching this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or it comes on after a show that you do like.
Yeah.
It's just after that. So you're just like, all right, I'm still eating this cereal. So fuck it, might as well.
Right. Yep. Right.
It's pretty fucking good. Like that old show, about 10 years ago, I think I went through it. I watched like all of them. They were pretty good. They're still like, it still aged really well. The jokes are really funny. I mean, there's a lot of like jokes. And it happens in this one too. There's a lot of like, the house is crazy jokes.
Yeah,
like, stuff is alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely one I need to revisit too. Like, it's probably been more than 10 years since I've seen it, like in a full sitting.
But one of the things that it does really well in this one, in the movie especially, is it just shows you like how awesome and crazy Gomez and Morticia are and how well they react to everything that fucking comes at them.
Yes.
Yeah, there's actually, it's hard to be a villain with them because even on their low points, they're still pretty fucking funny, and they're still kind of rocking life.
I think it really helps that they're so in love with each other.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it's hard to put them at, because they are doing occasionally doing very bad things like murder and torture and stuff like that. But they're just so fucking passionate about each other. You're just, you can't not.
Well, and I think too, like, this is why, I don't know, like, I feel like their romance and their partnership can really be looked up to, because I mean, I feel like, you know, we all know those crazy bitches that are like Harley and Joker, and you're like, no, they're like really unstable and like are not healthy. We're like, Morticia and Gomez are like really supportive of each other. Like, they show up for each other. They're passionate. They're open. They're communicative. So yeah, I mean, a little murder, like, it's probably going to happen once in a while. It's okay. They love each other.
I think you're right though. If we could somehow take all of the Harley Joker people and just like pivot them slightly towards the Addams Family couple, I think the world would be a better place.
At least Comic Cons would be better.
Yeah, that too.
Because I wouldn't have to look at 40 fucking Harley Quinns. I mean, right. A lot of people look at, but you know.
Yeah.
But I would look at 40 Morticias though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which evidently, I don't know if you read any of the trivia on this, but the process of getting her to Angelica Houston, of course, we're talking about, to look like Morticia was pretty fucking grueling and terrible.
Really?
Really? Tell me more. I don't think I know this.
Well, it just was. So she had to wear a very restrictive costume and corset that was extremely tight, I guess, where she couldn't, to the point that she couldn't really sit down.
Yeah.
And then also her, to get their eyes that way, they actually had them like taped and pulled back behind her hair, so evidently that was pretty uncomfortable. And
so she just had to do what drag queens do three nights a week at the bar, is what you're saying.
I suppose.
But getting paid way more money.
Yes, that's right.
Also, the Morticia drag queen is one of my favorite drag queens. If I ever see like a Morticia one, I'm always very happy about that.
It's so good. And she is like, I mean, Angelica Houston herself, but also Morticia, is like such a classic beauty, you know, and the dark hair and the red lips. And like, yeah, so I can see putting in work for that. But, you know, most people don't look like that. So.
And she's gorgeous. I mean, Angelica Houston looks beautiful in this movie.
Yeah.
And they also do this thing where they light her eyes brighter than everything else.
Yes.
Yeah. The lighting in this movie, I mean, it's Barry Sonnenfeld. This is his directorial. But he, of course, made his bones as the first cinematographer for the first bunch of Coen Brothers films,
yeah,
a bunch of other movies, and then went on to do like Men in Black and different things. But so he had two different cinematographers on this movie, and then he ended up basically finishing the movie himself. But there's a lot of scenes that are just gorgeously lit. The lighting in this movie is magnifique.
It's incredible.
So then after they kill a bunch of carolers, now very, very, again, hilarious scene, we get to see some of like the family. We get to see, this is the first time that like Thing was a disembodied hand, because in the original one, he was just a hand that would come out of a box and come out of the wall,
right,
come out of like shit and stuff like that. So we get to see that. And it actually, the effects are actually pretty good. I think the only part is the high speed chase where it's like running through the streets where you could clearly see he's like superimposed.
Yeah,
but all the other stuff, it's like really good special effects.
It is good. Yeah, 91. I mean, it's good.
Yeah, that was very good for its time for what it was.
Yeah, it still looks good.
Yeah.
And then we get, obviously, the introduction to the fucking tiniest Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
That you could, like, pocket-sized tiny Christina Ricci that you could fucking muster. She's 11 in this, and she looks like she's 7 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's little.
It made me feel bad for having such a crush on her as a kid. But,
yeah,
you know, she got older. So did I.
Yeah.
I'm younger than she is. Yeah, no, I'm younger than she was, so there's no reason I should feel bad about it.
No, you were 32 when she was 11. I remember.
That's true. I mean, I am a senile old man now, so.
Well, she's part of like my crush trifecta, where it was like her, it was Christina Ricci, obviously it was like
Winona Ryder. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Beetlejuice. And then Matilda in The Professional, at least for me. Those are like the three like kind of badass gothy chicks that I had a super crush on. Yeah.
I'm so sorry for the squeaking. It's my butt plug.
Yeah. I mean, when we said Addams Family, you were like, well, I know what I need for this.
I got to get prepped.
Yeah. I need to really dedicate it.
Also, we're cross-promoting with your OnlyFans, so
it's just working. Right. Yeah. Find me on OnlyFans, please. $2 a month subscription.
That's a deal. That's so cheap. How can you afford not to subscribe?
You ever think about doing it? It's just to see how many people that you know or like went to high school with sign up for it? Because I feel like that's a big chunk of it.
Yeah, I have thought about it because I know some people who do it and they don't even do like nudes. They just do like cute outfits and like, you know, more cleavage than you do on Instagram or whatever. So I have thought about it.
Because it would be funny, huh? Just to see. Degenerates. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like though, like of my immediate circle and the people who I remember from high school or like pretend to still be in contact with me, like nobody would surprise me.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. You're here. Good
to see. Well, I know like so many girls that are just like, no, I was just on Instagram and somebody messaged me and offered me like $100 for a picture of my, you know, vagina. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And then I was like, yeah, I would totally do that too.
Yeah. I'm thinking like, well, I don't know. I think I was a pretty good Morticia Gomez. I feel like maybe I could OnlyFans Morticia Gomez.
There you go.
Idea.
You totally could. Yeah. You could just do just that.
Just that. Just very niche. Like, what do you want to see Morticia do? And then sell that.
They see my hand come in as a thing every so often.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I bet there'd be a lot of like Morticia and Cousin It like role play that people would want to see. Just me. Yeah.
Interesting, Cousin It. You went in a different direction than I thought.
Well, I mean, again, we're degenerate perverts.
Yeah,
that's
true. We don't want Morticia making sweet love to Gomez. We want her like humiliated by a big hairy fucking monster thing.
Yeah, like Morticia was so much bush, you don't know where she ends and Cousin It begins.
Yeah. I mean, what if Cousin It is a bushy lesbian chick?
We don't know gender. That's right.
Yeah.
So it's all bush wrapped around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like a 70s bush. I mean, I don't know if you've seen 70s porn, but some of those bushes will knock the glasses right off your face, man.
Yeah. I'm really liking this idea, y'all. TM. Can I TM?
Yeah.
Yeah. OnlyFans. Just in case. You heard it here first.
Make one. Make like a Cousin It sex doll with just like a strap-on thing to it.
Like it would be super easy because nobody knows what's under. Just get a lot of wigs, put them together.
Wigs are expensive though, so.
Yeah.
You got to spend money to make money.
That's true.
I think probably the obvious one would be like a lesbian Wednesday and Morticia thing because think the Addams Family porno did have a lot of that.
Sure. But they're mother and daughter.
That's why.
Like, that's a thing.
I don't know if I have to say this again, but degenerate perverts.
I know.
Maybe you feel uncomfortable about it.
Yeah, but incest is where I draw the line.
But if you look up any fan art of anything ever and put like XXX after it, it's all going to be incest. All of it.
Yeah. No, I know. You're right. Depending on the money. It's a blurry line. I'm like, I don't have a kid. I would just be role playing with some chick to be Wednesday, right?
So, yeah, exactly. That's maybe you get off on the idea, the role play idea, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have a kid, wait 18 years, and then have cosplay role play sex with them.
Yeah. No. Well, it's the way that I don't, like, I'm not trying to pick up on an underage girl online. I'm role-playing that a cop is pretending to be an underage girl.
It's the danger. So that's what gets you off.
It's still over 18. There's still consent, you know? So, I'm, so, you know, no court would convict me, I think.
Solid logic.
All right, I guess so back to the movie. So the movie does start off with a lot of the same type of deal where it's like the house is crazy, the plants are alive. It almost has like that first Harry Potter feel where you're just like learning about the world. So you have to see a lot of it happen at once.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but I think it's the weakest part of the movie because it's funny and all, but it's not as funny as all the characters in the movie.
Right. True, yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it does bring you into the like the fantasy of it all, which I think is also helps why the like murder and torture does seem kind of funny in the movie, because it is all very like fantastic versus like if you didn't get all that in the beginning and it was trying to like present itself as a normal home and a normal family, I think it'd
yeah.
be a direction to take.
Yeah, that's fair. But it's still really funny and it's still really good.
Pretty quickly, they get to, they get to start the plot, sort of. You get his, like, shyster lawyer or
Tully.
Whatever.
The family lawyer.
Yeah.
He's like his accountant or something, right?
Yeah.
And he's a lawyer, yeah.
And they have a sword fight. So you establish right away sword fighting, because that's going to be important.
Yeah.
You also establish insane amounts of money hidden somewhere.
Yeah, like gold doubloons.
Yeah, gold doubloons.
Yeah. Because the Addams Family fortune goes back thousands of years, I'm assuming. Hundreds of years, I guess, America, yeah. Also, I think it was in the original show, Gomez is a lawyer in the original show.
Yeah.
There was, yeah. I
remember the pen.
Yeah. So it was funny, because in the movie, he's just kind of like a well-traveled rich guy.
Right.
But, it works. He doesn't have to go to work until he has to go to work, which is also very funny. In fact, I'm kind of surprised.
None of them really work. Morticia and Gomez aren't going to work.
Yeah, no. When you're just doing a movie, I can see why if you're doing a TV show, you need the maximum amount of plot possibilities, which means job and home. But if you're just doing a movie, you only have to fill 90 minutes, you know?
Yeah. They're 1%ers now that I think about it. And
they are. We should hate them.
Yeah. Yeah. And we should eat them, if I remember correctly.
But they give to charity, remember.
That's true.
They do.
And I think they would actually, they would be okay with you eating them. So.
Yeah.
That's another scene. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They're very, very okay. Those are part of my favorite things about them is that when they are being tortured and stuff, they're super into it.
Yeah.
Which makes it really hard to torture them.
Plus, like later in the movie, you find out they function well at jobs, all of them.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's a very weird part of the movie, but it could have been its own movie, and I'm kind of surprised it wasn't saved for the sequel, but yes.
Tully is a scam artist, and he knows that they have a bunch of money, but he doesn't know where it's at.
Right, and he's broke.
And he's broke, and he owes a bunch of money to, I can't remember the mom's name, but and then also Fester, but he's not Fester at that point, right?
No, he's, what does she call him? Gordon.
Gordon, yeah, that's right. He's Gordon. So he's Gordon at that point, but that's Christopher Lloyd, who's going to be Uncle Fester later. So they come up with a scheme to rob the Addams Family of all their gold doubloons.
And they're going to do it because the real Uncle Fester, has been missing for 25 years.
Also a very weird thing to do, because the show is all about the whole family. Uncle Fester is never not in the show. He's in it from the very beginning. So it was very interesting to just be like, Fester's been gone for 25 years.
Well, he's also, I think in the show, isn't he Morticia's brother and not Gomez's?
I think so, yeah. But so then we get introduced to them and they come out with this plan. But the Addams Family, they do like a seance. They do a seance like every week, right? Where they try to contact Fester because they think he's dead. And they're actually pretty okay with him being dead because then they could talk to him.
You can talk to him. Yeah, they just have a seance.
They're a little sad because he's not responding in the seances.
True, yeah.
And I imagine, they don't specify this, but I imagine every other time they reach out to a dead relative, they have a grand old time chatting about, I don't know, hell or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we get to learn about the relatives and how they all died, and it's really great. It's
like,
quartered, buried alive.
The witch that was burned.
Yeah, burned alive, yeah. And they have like all these like big monuments to them and stuff.
Yeah.
And it ends, I mean, spoiler alert, but the movie ends with them digging up their bodies.
Wake the dead.
Also really awesome. Wake the dead. But that, we're talking about the charity thing. They give to charity a lot. And that's one of those scenes where they just take something as simple as giving to charity and they turn it into a sex thing.
Yes, they like turn each other on so much by it. They like are off scene fucking in public.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like moaning, and it's like a, or it's like for an orphanage.
Yeah. So they're like at an auction.
Yeah, it's for like the orphanage and the homeless. Which Morticia's response is, oh good, we need more.
Yeah. But then they damn near have sex in public, outbidding each other for their own item, yes. Which is fucking great. Okay.
That is like a 1% power move, though, like to donate an item and then buy it again yourself.
And then buy it back, yeah.
Yeah.
For like a ridiculous amount of money, it's like
50 grand.
50,000 or something.
50
like
grand, yeah. Yeah.
Which in 1991 money.
It's the equivalent of 89,500 today.
8.2 trillion, I think, is correct. Is it really 89,000? Did you look it up?
I don't know. I just made that up.
Fucking close.
It's probably pretty close, yeah.
Also, 50,000 back then was like a whole bunch of money. But now if you go on a game show and 50,000 is the price, you're like, why am I wasting my time?
Yeah. Yeah, 50,000 back then could almost buy a house.
Well, I mean, yeah. Minimum wage was about the same, right, back then?
Yeah, it's still. It was still exactly the same.
So it's the same. It's the same exact money.
Yeah. They have the seance. Also, they do a lot of little kid stuff that I like a lot with the Pugsley Wednesday trying to kill each other all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. In a really funny and cute way, especially, again, because Christina Ricci is fucking tiny. And then they did the second one like a year and a half after this, and they both grew like a lot.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Puberty. It'll do it to you.
Yeah. Stranger Things kids.
Right. Yeah. The Christina Ricci thing, too, though, you can see why she went on to have a pretty good career. Definitely. Because she immediately, like, all of her scenes, you're just like, her comic timing is perfect.
Yeah, she's like Macaulay Culkin. Like, yeah. Really, really good. Yeah.
Really good.
I'm a homicidal maniac. Look like everyone else.
I remember
so good.
Yes, that line every Halloween when it came, like, well, what are you gonna go as? That was always the first option.
Yeah. Or she has some really good reaction, like when she's trying to electrocute Pugsley.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, all right, keep going, and she has like that face, and it's a really cute, like, some crazy smile face that she does. She's really good. Pugsley's also good, but he doesn't do much in it.
Yeah.
Except
he's kind of it's just hard for him to stand out next to her.
Mm-hmm.
I think anybody would have had a hard time.
I think so. And I think it may even be a situation where in the original script or in what they shot, maybe he had as much to do as she did, but it's clear.
But he's got it. Good.
Maybe. Yeah. It's just better.
Like, yeah.
Also, I think they switch moms, right? From part one to part two, the grandma.
I'd have to look in that.
I think it's a different actress. Yeah, but that's the only one. We do also get to see the cameo. It's John Astin is in it as the judge. He was the original Gomez, which is cool.
He gets to play a fucking
golf ball and stuff. And these
good little nods. Yeah.
I don't know if is Caroline James in this. I didn't even look it up.
I will look right now.
The original.
If Morticia. My internet works.
Oh, yes. Carol Kane plays the granny in the second one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember Carol Kane.
Yeah. Because she had that high voice.
Yeah. She does great things. And then Judith Malina was in the first one. So they did switch her.
This movie has that thing that the TV show like really, really did a lot. And any movie will do, which is they're a fucking weird family in a weird world. So we get a person that's not part of that family and from the normal world in there. So the show is all about that. It's like, what if the president of the golf club showed up to the fucking Addams Family? Or, you know, and then this one, obviously, like, Tully is the guy that's like, he's just a real guy that jumps in there. But part two has Joan Cusack jump in there. And yes. She's a homicidal maniac.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's one of the best, I think, ways to do it instead of coming up with like, oh, he has, now there's a new lady that falls in love with Fester, and what crazy thing is she going to react to them, you know? To be like, no, she's also insane.
Yeah.
Just on their level, way. Yeah.
Just a different kind of insane. Yeah, you're right. It occurs to me now that, and this could be applied to a lot of Tim Burton movies, that all of these movies are just taking the fucking Caddyshack formula, the Animal House, slobs versus snobs thing, and just being like, yeah, but what if the slobs were gothy?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, first of all, the chicks are sexier, so there's that.
Yeah.
Again, maybe not in this movie or Beetlejuice, or maybe I shouldn't say that, but you know.
I don't know. There's a lot more tits in Caddyshack than there is in Adam's Family.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's twins in Adam's Family. Remember, Professor had the tits. Like them?
Tits.
Yeah. Sorry, twins. My bad.
I mean, I like how you immediately just assume he's talking about something sexy. It must be twins.
And now we've gotten to Vincent's kink. See, by the end of this episode, we'll know everybody's porn up searches.
Joint twins, which, ooh la la.
Flora and fauna.
Impossible not to have a threesome with those two.
But what if they only have one vagina? That's like twice the talking for one vagina.
Oh my God. You just described my nightmare.
How soon into sex do you start turning their heads and trying to get them to kiss each other? Like right away, right? Like
probably, yeah.
Like number one. Yeah. And then getting kind of disappointed when it doesn't happen. And then you're like, I'm not even feeling this anymore. I'm going to go get a fucking sandwich.
I don't even know why you invited me over.
Yeah. They're also not attractive at all, which is funnier, obviously. Yeah.
That dress that they're in is really funny to me, too.
Yeah, it's really like gross and fucking gaudy. Well, everybody's dressed, so it's like a ball. It's a party, and everybody's dressed fucking awesome. There's also a whole thing where they're very naive to the normal world, but very well-traveled in like old school ways.
Yeah.
Like safarying, and, well, you know what I mean? And like Amazon plants and shit like that. But they don't know how the real world is.
Right.
It is, which is also part of a 1% syndrome, if we really break it down, too.
That's true.
That's true.
Well, and one thing.
Yeah, well, they have no idea what normal problems are.
Yeah.
One thing that my girlfriend had an issue with early on, because so obviously they decide Christopher Lloyd's going to dress up like Uncle Fester, and that's how they're going to steal the money, right? So one thing my girlfriend had a problem with is trying to figure out the math of, all right, he's been gone 25 years, but how old is he, and how old was he supposed to be when he left, and wait, how old were they? And but like you said, they sort of know 1800s world as or like early 1900s world as opposed to now. So maybe they're just fucking immortal. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or they're all like witches and shit.
They do seem to like not age at the same pace, or yeah, there is something there. But I mean, I think you would recognize, because they're already adults, so like 25 years, you could argue like somebody would look the same, just look older, versus like if somebody went missing as a kid and then right. Become as an adult.
They show the footage of them at that ball, that black and white footage,
right?
And I think they're supposed to be like 15 in that, so now it'd be like 40, like Fester would be like 40.
Yeah.
Because again, and you could say that Gomez has a mustache in that footage, but again, the baby has
a mustache, yeah.
And he's been smoking cigars since he was fucking five.
Yeah.
Right. So he would have had a mustache. So I think it checks out.
There's not a linear age timeline. I would agree with that.
Yeah. It's the comic book sliding time scale thing. Like if you told me that this was the exact same Morticia and Gomez that was this exact same age in 1964, I'd be like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, you could have easily done that with the comic strip and just made them vampires, but you know, they're just a family. They're just kooky and they're spooky.
Yeah.
The fake Fester goes in there, and there's some really cool scenes of him like being scared of the place. There's a great shot where he just like opens the door and Wednesday's just looking at him. Yeah. She's like super creepy down the hallway. And then, like, the hand comes in and falls asleep on him.
Even before that, I love the scene where he's on. He starts to unpack his bag, and Morticia comes in, and she's pulling out, you know, dynamite and arsenic and all this stuff. And he thinks, "Oh, the jig is up." And she's just like, "Oh, this is so cute. You arsenic? You thought we'd run out? Come on."
Yeah. Because again, Wednesday they kill a lot. Wednesday's onto him like immediately.
She's a smart cookie.
Yeah, yep. Wednesday's the only one. Yeah. Well, first he says that he was in the Bermuda Triangle.
Right. And Gomez wants to believe. Gomez is fucking, you know, David Duchovny in X-Files. He's willing to believe any conspiracy. every fucking QAnon poster on Reddit or whatever. He's ready to believe. But Morticia, I think, is a bit suspicious immediately as well.
Yeah, I think so. But Wednesday is the first one that's like just like asking a lot of questions about him because she's super smart. And she's been studying the Bermuda Triangle, which is where he said he was. This is another one of those things I think we talked about before. You know, a lot of people talk about this, how you thought that you were going to deal with quicksand a lot or piranhas. The Bermuda Triangle is another one that when I was a kid, I thought it was like a real thing that we were having to deal with. Like planes can fly over there because they get lost forever.
Right.
And boats have to avoid it because it's a void. It's a fucking void where they get lost. And no, that's not true. Like they fucking go through that all the time. It's just like a legend. It's just like an old-timey legend left over from nautical times.
Yeah, it's all these weird like childhood fears I've had for years. I'm like, I'm never gonna experience any of this.
Yeah. It was just a great way to set up our anxiety.
Yeah, right.
Being worried about the meteors because they took out the dinosaurs. Of course, they could take us out. Quicksand, Y2K. Bermuda Triangle. Yeah. Yeah. All it was just a foundation for all of our anxiety now.
Yeah. Oh, acid rain. Remember, acid rain was going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, acid rain was a real thing in LA. It just wasn't deadly the way people.
Yeah, but it just wasn't burning you like your skin at like first touch. Yeah. I mean,
has to make us afraid of liberals and Trump fans. I miss quicksand is what I'm saying.
I miss quicksand.
Yeah. I wish that was the thing I was worried about. Yeah. Now it's just a quicksand of debt and depression.
Yeah.
We're all dead inside.
That's why we watch porn. Okay.
Why I watch Adam's. It's why immediately after this, I watched Adam's Family porn for like 4.5 hours. Nice. And there's a lot of it. There's a lot of it.
Good to know.
Yeah.
This episode sponsored by Adam's Family porn.
Look it up, people. It's there.
Report back to email us at blockbusternostalgia.gmail.com with the best links.
Oh, yeah.
To spam after spam after spam. Yeah. Phishing.
Constant viruses. Yeah,
Gomez is super excited about it. He brings Fester down to like where he's hiding the money, but it's just like a party den that he has, which is also really cool. It's like an old school 1950s like lounge that you would make.
Right.
Back then, or just play records and watch old black and white film. Again, this is 91. So I guess, yeah, if you go back 20 years, you would just be watching it on like reels, you know, it'd probably be color, but yeah.
They would have made that in the 60s. So yeah, I mean, and this was 25 years since the show went off the air, and the show was in black and white the whole time, or did it go to color?
No, it wasn't black and white. I think they did a TV movie
in color.
That might have been in color. Yeah. Cause the Munsters did that, right? The Munsters went to color.
I think so.
Also, I never liked the Munsters.
Yeah, I think it's like, just the inferior version.
Yeah, it's totally the inferior. First of all, it's not gothic enough, for starters. Second of all, no sex in it, or S&M. I didn't fall in love with any of the little girls in that. Again, as a little boy, I'm not saying
as right a now. Little boy, please clarify.
As a child myself, not fall in love with any of the monster little girls. Well, the girl was a normal girl, right?
Yeah, the joke of the Munsters was that the one like teenage daughter was just a normal high school teenager, and everyone was so ashamed and shocked. They were like, oh my God, she wants to go to cheerleading trials. Can you, what have we done? That's right,
because she was the blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah. But your parents are so weird.
And I don't think, if I remember right, she never resented them. which a real teenage girl totally would.
Oh, yeah. She would have been like a hard bitch.
That was not allowed on television in the 60s.
Yeah. Especially in the 60s. It was like that time, it was that pushback from the hippie. So all the TV had to be like really, really happy cookie cutter shit. That's what that
like good family values and everything.
Exactly.
Yep.
Lily Munster, though, Yvonne DiCarlo was a fucking babe. I mean, she looked cute as like in the Munsters, but I just pulled it up and like.
Was it the blonde or the mom?
The mom.
Yeah. The mom's a smoke.
Oh, show, yeah. Right? The mom was hot.
Yeah. She's fucking like 1950s perfect babe.
Yeah.
Wow. She's really pretty. Did the girl that played Wednesday in the original TV show, did she grow up to have giant tits too?
You know what? That's a really valid question. Let me look it up.
Was that just Christina Ricci keeping up with the Wednesday character?
Got so deep into the character. She's like, I gotta do it.
Is this Christina Ricci's best role?
I mean, I think it has to be.
Right? I would say yes. Most
memorable.
Yeah. Sure, it wasn't in Pecker. It wasn't the movie Pecker.
Well, you know what? You changed my mind by mentioning that one.
Yeah. What? I mean,
to answer your question, yes, she did grow up to have huge tits.
Oh wow! All right, yeah. So it was tradition. Tradition.
Yeah, tradition.
Look at that.
I mean, I
don't know. I mean, Christina Ricci was also in Casper, which is just kind of like near and dear to my heart. Like
for sure.
Oh really?
As a movie, it just was so cute.
It's yeah, it's just definitely like sticking with that like little gothic chick thing.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. And it followed us, it like aged with us. So it was like, oh, she's like this cute gothy chick. And then by the time she's like 15 or 16 in Casper, and I was, you know, a couple years younger, it was like, oh, nice. This is
yeah,
it's out right here.
She turned out
I can see our future buses together.
maybe one day someone will kill me and I can be a ghost that dates Christina Ricci. Oh, somebody please kill me.
Suicide, dude. I mean, if you're gonna be a ghost, you have to be tormented somehow, right?
That's true. You can't go to heaven, right? So
or like an unsolved murder. Yeah.
I need to have unfinished business. In this case, my unfinished business, kissing Christina Ricci.
Yeah. So I'm saying 12-year-old you should have been either murdered or should have killed yourself.
For so many reasons, really.
Pull up a picture of you as 12 years old. I want a picture of this. I want a mental picture of who I'm talking about here that would kill himself or be murdered.
Oh my God.
For the podcast audience, I'm pulling up a picture of me as 12 years old. I'm a gorgeous look at me.
I would not tell this child to kill themselves. Francisco is a monster.
First of all, if it's not happening now. He's not 12 now. If I travel back in time, I would try to get him to kill himself, but only so he could kill Christina. He could kiss Christina Ricci as Casper the Ghost.
I mean, he's looking out for me, really.
Yeah, I'd have to find
what a good friend would do. Go back in time, make your friend kill himself.
I'm not going to kill him. I'm not a monster. But if I can somehow talk him into killing himself, I mean,
that's
I'm
not
doing some things.
That's not what you told me.
Well, what else was she in, though? What else was she in other than Casper in this that you right away remember her from?
Christina Ricci.
Buffalo 66, Blocks
Now and Black Then. Snake Zone.
What'd you say? Oh,
yeah.
Now and Then.
Again,
yeah, Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, yeah.
Sleepy Hollow's good. That's a good movie.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I mean, those are the ones that stand out to me for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so arguably, this is her best performance, her best role.
And the Lifetime movie of Lizzie Borden.
Cool.
That seems right. I mean, it makes me sad that it was that they wasted Christina Ricci, Lizzie Borden on a Lifetime movie, but.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Lifetime, right? I'm pretty sure it was some sort of made for TV version of it. It was pretty good. I watched it.
Talking about the cast too, Raul Julia was fucking amazing.
I was just about to say we have not talked about him.
Yeah, and he's amazing. He's an amazing choice.
He's incredible. Got some Latinx representation.
Everybody knows him as M. Bison from the Street Fighter movie, obviously.
That's right. Obviously, that's his most iconic role.
His last role, too.
For yep. you, the day where M. Bison just, you know, graced your village, it was the most important day in your life for me.
For him, yeah. It was only Tuesday.
Yeah, you know.
Yep, the most iconic of all roles. No, he was actually, like, this is an interesting part for him because he was a well-regarded dramatic actor.
Right.
Yeah, he had been nominated for a bunch of stuff. He was in that movie where he was that priest in South America that he was nominated for, I think. So he's a very good dramatic actor. He's not a comedic actor. And he's fucking amazing in this movie.
He was great.
He's also very, like, spry. And I know it's a lot of stunt stuff, but he does a lot of shit, a lot of, like, physical work in it.
Yeah.
You would have never thought he would have been dead in 2.5 years after this.
I know, right?
He won the Golden Globe for the Burning Season.
For Burning Season? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was, like, a well-regarded actor.
And he died just 3 years after this movie.
Sad.
It is sad.
Super young. He was 54. Super young.
Yeah.
More sad.
Which is like, okay, speaking of my goth roots, I loved Edward Scissorhands. Like, my mom knew there was something terribly wrong with me when I was like, I have a big crush on Edward Scissorhands. And so Johnny Depp, you know, has made me tickle my goth girl bean for a very, very long time. But yep. Now that they're talking about redoing the Addams Family, like, I don't think I have ever said this and I will ever say this again, but like, I would like to not see Johnny Depp in this role. Like, Raul Julia was Puerto Rican actor. Like, we don't have a lot of Latinx representation. It would be amazing if they got another Latinx actor, like, both as, like, for some representation, but as, like, homage to him and, like, the great job that he did. And so I'll be really interested to see, like, what that final casting comes out to be for the remake.
Yeah. I think Johnny Depp would just be too easy.
It's like, it's really expected,
gothy,
right?
Guy. It's a gothy movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's boring. He did that vampire show that's basically the Addams Family but vampires. He did that movie already. So
Dark Shadows?
Yeah. We got it.
Yeah. I just think they could find somebody else that could just be really, really good and surprising and unexpected.
All right. So who do you cast?
Maybe he can, Johnny Depp can play like a Native American in it.
God damn it.
That's not being ridiculous. That happened.
I know.
Well, he's like what, 1/32nd or something, right?
I'm sure he's got a little Cherokee in him, like every other white person claims to have.
Yeah, no, it was really awesome, and he actually, like, looks like the fucking cartoon, like the
comic strip.
Yeah, there you go, the comic strip. He starts getting the doubts when Fester doesn't remember the password that he had to say to let him go. He's not remembering all this shit. He doesn't remember how to take off the finger trap. Yeah, right. That they spent all the money
password,
on.
Password, of course, 2-10-11, eyes, fingers, toes.
Yep.
Yes.
Eyes, very toes. Obvious.
Eyes, fingers, toes, so good.
The story of the finger trap, he wore it for two years and he had to eat with his feet.
That's right. Yeah. So they watched, he asked him, like you said, he asked him about when or what, why was this important? He's like, your first cigar? He's like, no, come on, I've been smoking since I was 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mother encouraged it.
Yeah. Yeah. Our mother insisted or something.
Insisted, yeah.
The fucking jokes, also the jokes are like nonstop in this. They're like one after the other.
Yeah. They're just all like really good one-liners like throughout the movie.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. It'll just be like Wednesday's walking by with a knife, and then Morticia's like, where are you going? He's like, I'm playing with Pugsley. And he's like, no, not with that, you're not. And then gives her a bigger knife.
there's a lot of great lines in this movie.
So then Gomez has his breakdown where he's like freaking out about it, and he's playing with these trains, and a really good scene where they can hear the trains going, and they're like calling it where it's going, Dead Man's Curve.
Well, and they can't just hear them. They feel them. The whole house is shaking from these trains.
And it's really cool. And it has one of my favorite bits, which is like he's freaking out. And then we cut to the inside of a train and there's just a businessman in it.
Chris Sonnenfeld, the director of the movie, his cameo as the guy sitting, the business guy sitting reading the paper as this giant Gomez Adams head stares at him. Great bit.
It's such a cool, weird, fucking super weird bit that I like. It almost feels like one of those things where they're just like trying to figure out what's funny in every scene and how they can make everything just a little bit funnier.
Yeah.
So, so there's a lot of fucking funny bits like that.
Well, it's that thing. It's that thing that stand-ups talk about where you work out the premise and then you have the punchline. But if you're a good stand-up, you don't just stop there. You have the second punchline and then you have the callback and, you know, you dig deeper and deeper and you mine the material for as many jokes as you can.
Yeah. I wonder how much did they do a lot of improvising? Did it say it all in the trivia? I didn't read the trivia.
They didn't say anything about improvising. I know it did say, actually, I take that back. The one thing it did say is Christina Ricci made up that thing where she sleeps like in a coffin, where she crosses her arms. That was the only thing I read. Yeah.
Adorable.
No. She's like, oh, no, I get this. I get what we're going for here.
Right. The mom character comes back and talks Gomez into like accepting. Then right, we get the little turn where Fester, where he's like, starts bonding with the kids. And he does that by making their awesome play even more awesome.
Yes. Yeah. So he sees them sword fighting and is just like, no. That's not how you kill somebody. Haven't you ever killed someone before? Yeah. Gets very upset about this. And then, yes, ends up creating this elaborate like fake arm and all these like blood spray things. And then when they do the play, it's a fucking Gallagher show out there. The crowd is just it's Andrea's panties after watching Edward Scissorhands the first time. It is soaked.
I assume you were like 8 or 9 by then, so it's perfectly okay to talk about it.
I don't think so. I think I was much younger, honestly.
The episode where we all get canceled.
Right. I mean, you guys had a good run, I guess.
No, Edward Scissorhands came out in 1990. I wasn't even 5.
I didn't say when it came out. I said when you saw it for the first time.
Okay, when I first saw it. Yeah. Okay.
So at least
you gotta be very specific with how we're talking about timelines and children now. Yeah.
We're talking about ourselves. It's fine.
I think so.
So creepy.
I want to get the tattoo of that picture of me as a little kid.
That's a good idea.
I tell people, like, yeah. Well, no, I jerk off this dude every day. It's true.
It's terrible till you start doing it and then you have another reason to go to therapy. Yeah.
Just like tattoo myself as a kid but on my jerk off hand.
Yeah.
No.
It's like on my actual hand.
Just face to the palm so it's right in there.
Then I'm just like,
you just do a little one on your thumb so you wrap it around. Yeah. Like I'm choking you and me at the same time.
Oh, damn it. And I'm still like, I'm jerking off, but I'm jerking off to a picture of myself. So just ups the end. Right.
Just like at a different age.
Yeah. Like child, teenager.
Teenage me?
It's just a slideshow. Let's just go through the years.
It'd be one of those things that people would just make, somebody would just make a video of it, like one of those TikToks. It's like, what's the weirdest kink you ever heard from a guy? And that would be like,
yeah, that'd make it for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to go viral. Do it. Go viral that way.
Do it. Finally. TikTok.
Yeah.
Finally, go viral. Get some views for this shit.
Nope.
We stubbornly refuse. Hey, we make you earn it. We're underground. If you're right. Listening to this, you're one of the cool ones.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. So anyway, more weird. Talking about ourselves as kids in a sexual way.
I mean, the Addams Family just brings it out in us, right?
Yeah.
It's like 2 hours later.
I mean, there's a lot of sex. They have a lot of loud sex, I think. So the kids have to hear them.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right? Well, and they also, so I mean, they have sex in public. The kids are around.
They've probably seen it.
Yeah.
They've probably been like judges at like a sports competition with like signs. It's like reading it.
Like they're just having sex and Wednesday Addams is painted like the wall, like in part two. So you can't do anything. So you can't hear. But they have to, and then also, I mean, they're very like smart, right? That's one of the jokes in part two where the little girl is telling them like, and then the stork brings the egg and then the egg is in mommy's belly and then the baby comes out and they're like, our parents had sex. Like they know about sex already. So
yeah. Again,
because they speak to them like they're adults, which is once again, to go back to like how healthy that is, like that's probably the best way. I mean, we don't have kids, but it's probably a better way to raise kids to like not bullshit them, you know, because then they actually learn stuff sooner and they turn out to be really smart, a little homicidal, but you know.
No, that's not how I'm going to do it. It's going to be lies 24/7. You're going to have to figure shit out, man, because I'm just throwing it at the wall.
So it's the opposite. They're just really dumb, but still a little homicidal.
Yeah. Hey, I don't want no kid smarter than me.
That's what that whole movie Dog Tooth is about, where you just lie to your kids till they're fucking full grown, and then they're just insane people.
Although the one lie that I heard parents telling kids that I think is kind of hilarious is that the ice cream truck only plays music when it's run out of ice cream. That's really good.
That's pretty good.
I mean, the lies are pretty funny. Like I would always fuck with kids all the time and lie to them about a lot of stuff, but only when I'm pranking them.
Yeah. Not about real life stuff.
Yeah, not real stuff.
Yeah, then you're like 14-year-old daughter gets pregnant. And you're like, how'd you get pregnant? Well, because mom's been lying and telling me babies come from storks this whole fucking time. Like,
it's a good point. It's a good point.
I didn't see any storks around. I thought I was fine.
Don't say anything about sex.
Yeah, exactly.
Why didn't you get rid of the baby? Well, mom told us this big lie about this Jesus guy.
Yeah, let's not even get into that lie.
But yeah, they do. They talk to the kids like they're fucking full-grown adults. They also talk about them like that too, which is great. There's that great joke where the mom is like telling him like, you know your brother and you love your brother, but then what happens? You have this little black demon, and he's like, ah, Pugsley.
So yeah, to get back into the plot, which is what you're doing. So when you say the mom, so Uncle Fester, aka Gordon, Christopher, his mom is now posing as a doctor that found him with amnesia,
right?
Not with amnesia, but found him, and that's why he's been missing or whatever. So she comes back in as this psychiatrist doctor. And yes, like you're saying, talks to Gomez and tries to explain to him how he's displacing his anger and his like shame over driving Fester away, and that's why he won't accept Chris Lloyd.
And this puts like the heat on Gordon to try to get the money and to not be so friendly with the family.
Right. She gets very angry at him.
Yeah. There's when he tries to go down and find the thing, find the treasure, but he pulls a chain and it pulls him up and dumps him out this. But first of all, he goes through like a tube of water.
Yes.
Which is funny. But then when that tube of water comes out, it just says Pugsley on it. Yeah. So it's like the Pugsley tube.
Well, later on you see Wednesday escapes through the Wednesday tube.
Yeah. But why is Pugsley's like water? It's like a tube that goes through his place.
Fun.
And he comes out with fish and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's just like a pond. But yeah, that's when the play happens. And then she just tries to break in. The plants envelop her.
Yep.
Which is also funny. And again, part of the whole like the house is alive type of thing. And then they decide to throw a big party for Fester because he's supposed to leave, because obviously he's gonna steal all their money and go.
Well, I think at this point the party is to celebrate his return.
No, he's supposed to leave in a week. And they're like, well, yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess I misunderstood. It's a bit of both, right? So they throw a big party with all the family. So you get a cousin Ed, of course, who comes in, you know, big pimpin' it, and picks up what's his name's wife,
Tully's wife.
Yeah. And then
he shows up in a little tiny car, like a little smart car.
Yeah.
Really
funny. Yeah. Cousin Ed, always ahead of the game. And you have, you know, the hunchback guy, you have the conjoined twins that you find out that's the reason Fester and Gomez fought was that it was over them, over these conjoined.
Yeah.
And they also drop that little hint where they're like, well, I mean, Fester, he's the eldest. He gets everything.
Right. So then Tully comes up with this great plan where he goes and tells the judge, the neighbor, that he can help them out by signing, first of all, a restraining order for them and then siding with them in court, which is, a conflict of interest. But also, Gomez represents himself.
Yes.
So clearly.
Yeah. Makes his big statement right before it, too.
Yeah. They say that a man that the man that represents himself as a fool for a client. Well, I am that fool.
Yeah, which it would have been a great scene, but it's such a good like fast cutaway to the judge like throwing the case out. That's really funny.
That's very good.
On its own.
So, and then this is the part where you have like 10 minutes that could have been its entire other movie, which is that the Addams family get kicked out of their house and now have to live in the real world. And instead they just use it for, again, like 15 minutes of jokes and they get back to it.
Yeah.
I was sorry to interrupt, but this is also point in the movie where you have maybe the most memorable line, which is the is it made with real lemons? Are your Girl Scout cookies made with real Girl Scouts?
Yeah. So that line is so popular and so memorable that they brought that little girl back for the second one.
Yeah.
Like there's no way you bring that same little girl back if it wasn't that line was in every fucking trailer.
Yeah.
It was in every bit of promotion. There's also some cross-promoting in this movie, I noticed. Tombstone Pizza has billboards in a lot of shots in this movie.
Which is so perfect. They're like, oh, Tombstone. Yeah, obviously. It's perfect.
Yeah. It also made me think, like, that's right. There was a pizza called Tombstone Pizza.
That's right. It was not that good.
That's also it's a funny name for a fucking pizza. Red Baron, too. Red Baron Pizza is kind of weird.
And they're, like, the same standard of pizza, too.
Yeah.
I would say Red Baron was always better.
Think so?
I think so.
Next time we hang out, we gotta get Red Baron.
Yeah, let's do taste test freezer pizza.
All right, I'm out.
Then whatever the generic store brand is,
I can almost guarantee you, as somebody that spent a lot of his college years eating frozen pizzas, I would rate Red Baron ahead of Tombstone.
Okay.
Really? There's a.
We're gonna try.
We skipped over the scene where they're talking about all the tombstones and all the like monuments and stuff for the family.
All the dead family members. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a scene after that, too, where Gomez and Morticia clearly have sex on one of those fucking, like, the couch one.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, watching it now, I was like, it's so fucking obvious that they're about to fuck on that in that graveyard. And it even cuts away to
the crazy. And looks like when I think back about it, like, I don't remember a lot of this shit.
Yeah.
Well, and even the stuff later when Morticia's being tortured, and she's like, oh, you've done this before. You know, and,
oh,
and
you've done this before. Yeah.
Like watching it now, it's very sexual. But what was cool about it is that it was still funny as a kid, just in a different way. It was funny in the like, oh, she likes torture. No one would like torture. That's so silly.
Yeah.
She does like torture.
Oh, she likes them whips and chains. Yeah. And then especially when Gomez shows up and they get super excited and want to like fuck in the middle of this life and death situation.
When they're like supposed to be trying to get rescued.
Yeah. But yes, cutting back, they get kicked out of the house. They're staying in this cheap motel. Gomez is ruined. He is just sitting in front of the TV, eating
potato chips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Calling Sally Jesse Raphael.
Yeah. And the unemployment lady that's like, oh, what's your husband? A layabout, a dreamer, a no good Nick.
I'm like, you're describing me right now, Eric. I'm not sure.
Well, you're describing a lot of us here in quarantine time.
Right.
Like, not anymore.
Yeah. So sad. Then the bit where she's being a preschool teacher, would you say the best or the second best kindergarten teacher next to one Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, yeah. Second best in that case.
Second best.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't get that many cool kindergarten teacher roles.
I feel like they gotta do a sequel to Kindergarten Cop now.
They did that a few years back, right? Dolph Lundgren?
They? Yeah, they did. Jesus Christ. It was Dolph Lundgren. Yeah. I mean,
I don't know if they call it a sequel. No, they need to bring Arnold back, like old man Arnold.
Just do it Logan style, where it's super serious and dark now. And just old Arnold trying to teach a bunch of kindergarteners and dying at the end.
Right.
All right. So to answer one of your earlier questions, Francisco, the actress that played the original Morticia, unfortunately, had passed away before this movie was done. So or started. So she was not in it. We talked a little bit last week on our very good Face-Off episode that you should listen to if you have not already, that movie had like an 82 on Metacritic, which is ridiculously high. This movie, a 57.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, this movie's great, and it's aged great, too.
Yeah, I can't imagine it being that low for some reason.
Andrea, if you had to choose, would you go this one or Casper?
This one.
Because of all the sex stuff?
Yeah, sure. Wait, always.
In Casper?
Well, there was a lot of sex stuff in Casper, too.
Yeah.
He also lived in an old, creepy S&M mansion, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Mm-hmm. Right. I wonder Casper.
Well, because Casper as a real boy didn't do it for me. Well, who was it? Like Devin Sawa or something like that? He was like
Devin Sawa.
Wait, who is
the Devin Sawa?
Yeah, no. Devin Sawa.
No, was Devin Sawa. No shit.
I don't know why I remember that, but like so him as like a real boy, like I just wasn't into that like clean cut blonde kind of looking dude. So
yeah.
Adam's family for sure.
What was it rating in Adam's Family?
Was that Metacritic? 57.
57?
What was Casper? Are you looking
at 49.
49. So. Oh, wow. They were not kind to the all audiences gothy movies.
Yeah.
Maybe it was too scary for the critics of those days. They were, you know, too conservative and buttoned up.
It probably was that they didn't want remakes of the shit that they loved when they were kids.
That's probably it. They were mean.
It's probably like, it's not as good as the original comic strip.
They were me hating and giving bad reviews to every remake.
One of the coolest things I think about those vines that come to life and grab her and stuff in that scene is that they probably use those for S&M a lot, which is fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
I assume so.
Yeah.
It's like a slight hentai room.
Oh, how convenient would that be for like self-tying and untying stuff? Yeah. Like,
yep.
You just teach the plants your safe word and you don't have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
That's a real time saver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The aftercare is nice. The plants like help you out a little bit. They put a little blanket on you. And also, you know, every now and then, maybe, you know, you get penetrated by them. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know,
it happens.
Like, they did it in Evil Dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it was rated in that one, but, you know, if it's consensual, this is a family friendly one. So there's no rape.
It would be consensual for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, consensual plant sex. We're talking a whole different ballgame.
Right.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
How do you get consent from a plant? I think you would have to like
Morse code.
Lay in front of it with your legs open every day and see if it grows towards your vagina.
It'd have to be a tropical plant, you know, because of like the warm, moist environment.
It's so not living in there.
But to be attracted to it, like that's what it would seek out. So I think definitely a tropical. So you'd have to start with the right plant.
Yeah. I think the first move when you're teaching it the bondage stuff, you teach it Morse code and then you're good.
Just, oh yeah.
So, like tap on it?
Yeah.
How much do you think it jerked off Fester when he was young? Because because it goes and falls asleep on his lap. Like it falls asleep like, I mean, thing, not it, sorry. Yeah, the hand, like it falls asleep like on his lap by his dick. Like he's like, oh, you're back. Yeah. Good old days, huh?
I mean, yeah, constantly probably. I mean,
if you had an extra hand around the house.
Yeah.
I mean, the second one has a joke, right, where she like licks his finger and she's like, I'm good with my hands. So she like sexualizes it and Thing like kind of like moves around a little bit, like gets
like excited flustered. About it. Yeah.
But you would have to teach Thing Morse code because he uses Morse code later on when he's trying to teach him. Yeah.
Yeah, and
he also knows ASL. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does, but he's only one hand. He's only one-handed ASL.
Gotta be tough.
Also, we're not weird. This movie over-sexualizes everything, so I think it's fair to just assume that somebody's having sex with that hand.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the parents are doing bondage all the time, anywhere they can get it in. Like, of course somebody's using that hand for sex stuff.
Yeah.
Bring the hand into the mix every now and then. Why not?
Every now and then.
Yeah.
So the hand's part of the family, you know.
Sometimes you want to hold back both arms and also choke her at the same time. So, yeah. Thing
the
jumps in there.
Could help. The extra hand could help. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That polar bear rug that is alive for some reason.
Yeah.
Also, just for like a nice massage, you know?
Yeah. I guess you don't have to use it all sexually. I guess you could use all these things.
Like nice practical uses.
Like you could stir the pot like while you're cooking, maybe, but it's not as fun.
It's not exciting.
Yeah. I guess it doesn't all have to be fingers up the ass and choking out and everything.
Doesn't it though?
Yeah.
But, Possibilities are endless is what we're saying.
Yeah. Yep. The Addams Family is out on the they're poor. Mm. They broke.
I did want to bring up real quick the mamushka.
Yes.
Because it's a funny scene where they do this dance, this like old fucking Nordic dance or whatever it is. But it's the first time too that you get a sense that Gordon is Uncle Fester.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is kind of like the twist at the end. But this is where he like all of a sudden knows the mamushka and he knows like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and originally, it was much longer, this scene. Like they had multiple verses in the song. I guess it was a much bigger dance originally, and the test audiences thought it was too long, so they cut it down to what's in the movie today.
I mean, it's a lot in the movie today.
It was evidently a lot longer before. And I think that goes to your point that, oh man, if he knows all those lyrics.
Yeah.
And he knows the dance moves and the sword, and he's catching the swords and the sword swallowing and all that stuff. Like, yeah, maybe,
The actual ending with Fester was supposed to be very like, oh, it's not actually Fester too, like originally before they rewrote it because the cast did not like it as much. So the cast like complained enough that they like, okay, this is Fester. So
really,
which would have been a weird like ending, like this isn't actually Fester.
Yeah, that would have been weird.
It would have been
did they adopt him at that point? Is it just like, well, you can still stick around though. We like you.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
My theory then would be that Gomez killed Fester. Well, no, actually, probably Morticia killed Fester way back. I would take Gomez. Gomez killed Fester way back. And now when this guy shows up, he's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, this is Fester, sure.
Of course he's my brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would, but wouldn't he just admit that? Like, yeah, I feel true. Like murdering family members in the Addams Family, that's
pretty normal.
Yeah. That's Tuesday, yeah.
Then he wouldn't be as disappointed. Like, yeah, it's normal. And then not getting him at the seance would probably be more surprising if he knew that he was, like, dead.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Like, 25 years, I mean, it's not talking to me? It was just murder. Come on, man. Don't hold a grudge.
Just killed it. He remembers the mamushka. He gets all the kisses from Flora and Fauna.
That's right.
In a great bit where they're leaving and they say bye and they're taking him to an insane asylum. It's such a fucking funny.
It's a really good bit. They're just putting the jacket on. Ah.
Yeah.
It's a really good reveal.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, they're back on the street, back to where you were.
Right. Then they also have like the, call me when I'm alone, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, they're back on the street. They're broke. They're homeless. They're living in this hotel. Morticia goes to visit Fester, I guess, to try and convince him to let them back. And that's when she walks in on them all up to multiple attempts at robbery that have all gone awry. And they decide we're going to take her hostage, torture her until she tells us how to get that gold.
Also, use a fucking, like, coat hanger to pull down the lever. What are you doing using your hand? over and over again.
Yeah, you would think you would learn.
Yeah. Also, like, tie a ribbon to it so you know which one you pulled already.
Right.
But you know that.
Right.
They're idiots.
They're idiots, exactly. So she gets tied to that fucking awesome table that they used to stretch people out with, which I feel like now that is probably awesome pretty good table. For your back. Yeah. No, because I feel like now it's probably pretty good for your back. You stretch it out. You know, it's like one of those ones that you go upside down.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, makes sense.
I wouldn't mind giving that a whirl, actually, now that you mention it.
Yeah.
Give me a... Also, sexually...
You would just have, like, stopping points, right? Like, for a good stretch, little chiropractic relief, torture. So you just, you know, don't go all the way over.
I like that it's still... The torture's still there. You don't stop the machine at good stretch. Yeah. But you just put... You just label it.
Yeah,
it's just like as you're turning the crank, it goes from like happy face to like a very sad, angry.
It's just
face.
Emojis. Yeah.
Like, just don't get into this red zone here.
Exactly. Yeah, to like a little dead face, like the little exit.
Yeah, the little skull and crossbones.
Right. Yeah. If you've gone here, you've gone too far.
Or just like a little stick figure, like with its arms torn off.
Like, I like that. Like... That if you remember the Mr. Bill skits from SNL, it's just that like, oh no, face.
Yeah, yeah. I always liked in pools or when you buy like a big bucket of paint, they'll have a drawing of a child drowning in it, and they'll be like, don't let babies near it because look at this baby drowned in. Or like at the pool, like, don't jump in this side because look at this guy cracking his fucking head open.
Yeah. That's good shit. All right, so Thing witnesses all of this, runs back. This is the scene you're talking about that the FX are slightly dodgy, although still not bad. Thing runs back, tells Gomez what's up. He rushes off, although he does take time to get dressed quite dapperly, as always, even though he was just deep, deep in depression. Mm-hmm. But rushes in, jumps through the window, does some full-on Zorro shit. I fucking love it. And this is where they start almost having sex on the torture machines before getting back to the problem, which is that now, Uncle Fester, a.k.a. Gordon's mother, pulls out a gun and is threatening to kill Morticia unless Gomez gives them the treasure.
Yeah, well, because Gomez very easily outmaneuvers Tully with a fucking sword.
Right.
Because he's just a lawyer. Yeah. Yeah,
Francisco, I think what you're saying is Tully had to work a fucking 9-to-5 for the last 40 years, just working at that grindstone, struggling every day to put food on his table. Meanwhile, rich boy Gomez Adams could play around with swords because he didn't have to go to work.
Exactly. And dress nice for nothing, but like slick hair back all day.
Get that perfect fucking mustache waxed, you know.
And then 100%. Getting his thing waxed whenever he wanted because his wife also doesn't work.
Yep.
Yeah. Having sex with his wife 24/7.
Yep.
I mean, I guess we all could do that too, but when you're rich. You don't have to go to work, so you do it, even during
that. Yeah, more time. Yeah. So then this is the scene where Uncle Fester finally decides, you know what? Fuck these people.
The bad people.
Right.
He gets the hurricane book, right? And it was established before that the books are crazy books.
Right.
Part of the house being alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gets a hurricane book, opens it to a cool animated little hurricane sequence in there where you see the trees are animated and stuff. It's really cool. They all fly around in a big circle, and then the Tully and the mom end up being buried alive.
Right. So they fly out the windows into open caskets, into open graves that fall down, and standing above them are Wednesday and Pugsley that start like digging. And Pugsley, I think, has the line, "You think they're dead? Doesn't matter." Of course, that they're burying them alive.
Yeah, yeah, so the worst possible death that you could have.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in the confusion, old Christopher Lloyd has gotten struck right in that noggin by a big old bolt of lightning.
Right. And it brings everything back. And this is where we get he's actually Fester and she actually did find him in a tuna net from the Bermuda Triangle. But he had amnesia. So big, giant coincidence. But, it's a kids movie, so yeah. It's fine. And then that's it, right? Before it leads into the great MC Hammer song.
That's right. Then you get the reveal that Morticia is pregnant, and then it's Halloween. That's where you get again the homicidal maniac line. You have Pugsley dressed up like Fester, and play Wake the Dead. Right.
Cousin It is dressed like a cowboy.
That's right, and he's now
and he's with the lawyer's wife.
That's right. They're now in a serious relationship.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He's worked in.
Yeah. And then part two, they have a kid together too. What? That little furry kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is also kind of just there for like a bit, like for her to show this is our baby, and she's like, what? Oh, I didn't say anything. No, what? That's its name.
Yeah. Just to do the who's online bit. Or who's on first? Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, also it implies that their baby is going to have three legs, which is weird. Or just a giant cock.
Seems plausible. Yeah.
Yeah. What were the costumes that the kids, remember the trick-or-treaters? It was like a Spider-Man and like a Captain America in there, which is cool. And I wonder like if they had to get rights for that back then.
I'm sure they must have, right? But at that time, it would have been super cheap to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spider-Man and Captain America.
It's not a thing to worry about.
Especially because it was like comics and cartoons at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Marvel is already selling a bunch of film rights to stay afloat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, so, yeah, they would have been really cheap. I mean, it's 91, so Marvel's actually making a lot of money, but I'm sure they were still desperate, as they had been for years, to get into Hollywood at that point, so... I'm sure any film deal where they could sneak anything in, they're like, yeah, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, so then we go into the great MC Hammer song.
Ridiculous.
And it's just like him rapping really fast.
It's
just like, did you not like it, Eric? You didn't like it?
I didn't love it.
Because it's not Vanilla Ice rapping, is that why, Eric?
That's the real problem. Problem, yeah.
It's not the true artistry.
I only like one early 90s hip hop artist that sang in family movies. And it's Vanilla not this Ice. One. Yeah.
And it's the white guy, I say.
Coincidence.
Oh, maybe that's one of your jokes. The only thing that could have made this movie better is if Vanilla Ice had sang the song.
You heard me.
God damn it. You remember how good Ninja Turtles 2 was.
All right, so that's the end of the movie.
That is indeed the end of the movie. That, of course, like we said, went on to have a not so successful, except for in all of our hearts and in home video. Like, I feel like rental stores made a killing off of Adam's Family Values, but yeah, and they gave us fashion icons for forevermore, I guess. We already had them, but I guess it reestablished the Gomez Morticia iconic goth look.
Yeah, definitely more like formal goth, you know, versus like a grungy goth.
Yeah,
like,
it's a classy.
Yeah,
bringing it back.
Yeah, as opposed to classy. I mean the Burton stuff at that. I mean, I guess Edward Scissorhands was around the same time, and that was classier. But if you think about like the early Burton stuff, it's more like you said, grungy goth.
Yeah,
yeah, more like punk. Yeah. Punk that led into goth. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. This is more the classic like Victorian goth.
Yeah,
which is the best goth, I think.
I agree.
It's fun.
Yeah, that's why the whole Lolita thing is a thing, because it's like super Victorian and cute.
Yep, that's why. So now we get to the part of the podcast where we fix this movie.
Other than putting Johnny Depp in it, which we already established.
who do we put Johnny Depp in as, though? Pugsley?
Native American Pugsley.
Native American Pugsley. Oh, he's the wooden Indian that they burn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The lurch, like, actually, burps into it.
That would be fucking great.
That would actually be hilarious if it was fucking just Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp cameo is the wooden Indian? Yeah, how do you fix this movie, man? Because it's, to me, it's pretty, like, perfect. It's pretty fun. It's like when we talked about Beetlejuice, you know? Like, it's hard to just do anything with it. other than, you know, a Vanilla Ice song.
Other than a Vanilla Ice song and a Johnny Depp playing a wooden Indian character.
I think if we could get like an R-rated version of it and just a little bit more sex on screen of the off screen stuff.
I think what you're referring to is what Francisco spent last night doing, which is the Addams Family XXX.
No, because I want to see the murders too.
I still want a plot line, goddammit.
Well, we don't know. That porn parody might have a great plot line. I'm sure it jokes, right?
It does.
Yeah.
Francisco did it.
Yeah, it totally did.
There we go. We got that movie.
Anyway, that's how I would make it better. R rating, a little more on-screen BDSM. Just a little bit.
I don't disagree, although you do then lose the magic of being able to watch this movie when you were, you know, 8 years old.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched RoboCop when I was 8 years old, and that's a hard R.
Yeah, I'm like,
I watched Scarface when I was 7, so.
You're right. I watched a lot of R-rated movies as a kid.
Yeah, right, like my parents were still taking me, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you could have still taken them to an R-rated. Go like full-on R-rated, like so R that they had to cut a bunch of shit out to not be NC-17.
NC-17, yeah.
Yeah, like just before that.
All the murders were way too gruesome. They had to cut away.
A lot of the male nudity they had to cut out.
Yeah.
Because there was like a lot of it.
A lot of fucking Gomez just hanging dong.
And like super disturbing naked fester and like a weird like Bad Lieutenant style scene where he's just like freaking out.
Well, and I imagine Fester, for whatever reason, I just imagine there's a lot of just unordinary stuff going on under there,
right?
No, it would just be like something out of like Human Centipede or something where it's just like gross.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine just cutting it, walking around, just like a big wang out of all the hair?
Just sticking just
like
straight
as
through.
He's walking, it like peeks out throughout the hair every so often.
Just popping
just
out.
So long.
Where does it start on the body? Because we don't really know how Cousin It is formed. How high up is that dick?
I say it's like closer halfway to the ground.
Oh.
Think so? Yeah. I would say like Dorf, where he's just like kind of like a guy on his knees.
Yeah,
because also it's kind of funnier.
Yeah,
he's like Captain Caveman without arms, right?
Right, right.
Yeah,
yeah.
But still, that, you know, that big club only it's his cock.
It's like off center too when it pops out.
It's like swings out.
Just while they're dancing, it's just swinging out every time he twirls.
It's like a Rockette leg behind the curtain, you know.
All his hair moves up when he twirls, and you just see it.
he fucking knocks kids out with his wang when he twirls.
Well, world renowned woodsman, Cousin It.
4 foot tall, 3 foot of dick.
It's like, that's how you know what color he is under there, because you see his dick and you're like, oh shit, he's pink. just a lot of erect penis, I think, is how we're fixing this movie.
Just a lot of erect penis. Yeah.
For sure.
They never talked about Giant Lurch. I mean, if anybody has a big dick, it's that fucking 7 foot tall motherfucker.
Yeah, for sure.
He's also got that like skinny, weird looking thing that I think sometimes carries a big dick with it. Like, like I've seen a lot of porn.
Yeah, he's got a lot of big dick energy for sure.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
You can tell by the way he grunts and has no lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I don't need to bother learning words. I'm just gonna dick you down.
Yeah, that's true.
This whole thing, yeah.
He's probably kind of like an Edward Scissorhands, where like housewives just take advantage of him.
Yeah,
like he's just like a guy, and then like desperate housewives just show up and fuck him, and he doesn't. He's like a big man child, so he doesn't know what's going on. I mean, he obviously knows what's going on, but you know, he's not going to fight it.
he gives consent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He gives consent. Big dick energy.
All right. I think that's as close as we're going to get to fixing this just classic movie that I think we all really still enjoy.
Yeah. It's great.
So speaking of a classic movie that we all still really enjoy, next week we're going to go to the end of the 90s to talk about another just, you know, amazing film that I'm sure we'll just have nothing but good things to say about. It's Wild Wild West.
Oh, also directed. Same director.
Same director, yeah.
Yeah.
Another great same song.
Another great song.
Oh, the God, movie Will rough, Smith guys. Chose over The Matrix.
Yeah, the movie that Will Smith chose over The Matrix.
Yeah. So,
awesome. Wow.
I mean, if it was as big a hit as this, Barry Sonfield, like, he was knocking it dead.
Well, and in between those, and we'll talk about him eventually, but in between those, Men in Black.
Yeah, and then Get Shorty.
Get Shorty, which are both good movies and both huge hits. And I wish we were talking about them and not Wild Wild West. But thus, that is the just hellish torment that we have chained ourselves to through the description of our show. So we'll be back next week. Until then, thanks everybody for listening. Shout out to Wallace Book for our theme song. Remember, blockbusternostalgia@gmail.com. Subscribe, like, rate.
Duncan's, do you want to plug your dog's Instagram account?
Oh, yeah. our dog Lilith is at Lilith Noir, N-O-I-R, 1017 on Instagram. She posts cute pictures. She's got a resting bitch face, but it's very cute. So you're into that fluffy dog life.
And remember to look up on OnlyFans, Morticia Adams, Andrea Duncan, OnlyFans account.
Oh, I might have to use like a pen name.
I was going to say, you use your full name?
Oh, yeah.
No. We'll have to, what is it, a pseudonym? Is that what it's called?
Pseudonym, yeah. Pseudonym? Oh, at some point, you tell them where they can see the picture of you guys as Morticia and Gomez.
Nowhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nowhere. I'm just going to, or should I post it?
Yeah, you can go ahead and post it on your Blockbuster Nostalgia Instagram.
All right, so check out the Instagram for a picture of them as Gomez and Morticia, an award-winning costume set coming to OnlyFans soon.
Yep, just tits out, so that's why.
Our Instagram's going to get banned immediately, so make sure you're following because you want to catch it before it gets banned.
That's right.
Yep.
And thank you to Vince and Andrea Duncan for being on the show once again. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure and an honor.
Having such adult conversations.
I love talking about dicks with you.
Yep.
We do it so often. Until and next
so
week.
Hard.
I'm Eugene Sides.
Yeah, it is.
Say your name, fool.
Francisco Landin.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love.
Bye.